Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine. First of all, I would like to apologize to some of my friends that I made an arrangement with, and I'm sorry that I break it. So before they call me, I wanted to know that I apologize, because I usually don't say things and then go against it. Go against what I said. I made an agreement, and I breach it. Now, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I listened to you this morning from the time the program starts, and you making so much errors today. I don't know what's wrong. You went to meet it last night?
No, I watched it.
Well, you watch it. Because listening to the meeting is a continuation of today where errors are being made by my number one moderator.
Okay, well, proceed.
I can give you the one by one and stop falling into this.
I don't have a difficulty because, you know, I'm only human.
Okay, but I think you're making them too often.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Let me hear the specifics.
Okay. The gentleman that you know, that to me, like, he's run down behind buses, he's catch buses up and down the road, he always checking everything where the transport was concerned. You know that, I know that. He told you that the 40 buses was off the street before the storm. You remember that?
He said not the 40. He said 40 buses were off before the storm.
And you told him and 40 was off after?
Yes. I said even if there were 40 before, another 40 were off after.
But you know then that there'll be only then 30 on the road.
Well, I am not, you know, what I said to him does not imply that I am accepting his argument that 40 were off before. But the point is that even if, according to him, 40 were off, another 40 were off the road because of the water.
Can I express a question? I have bus friends, and they told me that there was never 110 buses on the road anyhow. But that is what they say. But I can ask you this there too.
Mm-hmm.
We have plenty of people here with little Suzuki's and Toyotas and things. You hear if at any time 5 was off the road because of the bad weather?
Well, chances are, if that happened to a private person, they wouldn't be calling the radio station to say that.
Listen, this is Barbados, and you in the news, and we'll be hearing. I ain't hear no large percentage of vehicles was off the street because of that wind. How come that 40 big buses was off because of wind?
Well, first of all,
Miss Ellis?
First of all, I think that the way that the rain fell on that occasion, it was night rain. It started at around 7 o'clock in the night, and it finished around 7 o'clock the next morning. It therefore meant that a lot of people would not have been on the road to run the risk of their cars stalling and that sort of thing. However, the transport board found itself in a situation where the rain was falling, the heavy rain started to fall before the transport board buses had stopped running.
Okay, let's move on because.
So I don't understand. That's how you would interpret it.
Okay. So let's.
I don't know who's making the errors here, whether it's me or you.
The impression I'm getting is the buses was running through Watton and Murphy passed a lot. Let's move on.
But they were not the only places that had flooding in Barbados. Those places, the flooding was worse, but that didn't mean that they were the only places. I saw pictures of flooding the next day down in the bus terminal.
Okay, Mr. Ellis, let's move on.
But then,
let's move on. Ms. Ellis, the staff man came on just now, and you allow him to speak, because truthfully, not Dennis Johnson, because Dennis Johnson is not in this. But Dennis Johnson by himself, he's a different moderator to all the other moderators. There have some moderators that don't give you no time to speak. Every day you go to speak, to try to get you off your point. You're a little different. But to me, you're trying to destroy what they just do. I don't want you to go down that road. you allow the statsman to speak. And the statsman went on to say, I give the total amount of money that Mr. Mears used to receive. The gentleman know who is the secretary of the Democrat Labour Party. You remember what the statsman said?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ask the statsman if it is true that these 8 people is receiving this set of money? Well, you don't, as you would do with a Democrat. You would, if that was a Democrat, say what the statsman said. You would have said.
But I thought the reason why I didn't challenge it is because I have seen that information in the public domain.
This information?
What he said had been paid to the consultant.
But Mr. Ellis, you're the manager of the OB.
Yes.
And I know 2 people that get $25,000 a month.
And?
If I know you got no 2.
So what are you saying?
I am saying that VOB got to understand that Barbadians went to school. And they most of them, especially in the years group, and going to, in their time. I attended the University of King Street and Richmond's Gap, and they taught me to think. If a country is in trouble, what the gentleman from the north was saying, there's nothing wrong with people holding pain. There's nothing wrong with people cutting back. But if you can tell Barbadians to cut back, the country got problems. How can you have 26 ministers, 8 consultants? Huh? How can you be doing the things that you are doing and then on the other hand telling people, okay, look, you got to pay $45 more for your water bill? How can you be doing? And what I'm saying is, like listening to her whole speech last night.
You listen to that?
I don't just come on the radio. I got people who inform me and keep me in touch.
You listened to it last night?
Part of it. And they're the ones that annoy me. They're the ones that annoy me.
That's when you stop listening.
No, I listen to all because I must hear everything.
They just told me you only heard part of it.
No, I said this is the part that I'm going to talk about. This one part is the part that I'm going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, the decisions that is made lately where this country is concerned, the Prime Minister, the citizen, she's been among the decision makers.
Why do you ask that?
Does she know that people 75 years and over getting hurt? When you listen to her, how she feels to these people.
But I thought that the Prime Minister outlined clearly what she said was the limitation in trying to deal with it, that you had to let the bond, the offer close first, and
but
then based on that, you would then be in a better position to look after the interests of some of the people who are being hurt. That's what I heard her outline.
But you want the same question I asked first? She had no way having to speak like yesterday, because if she had cared from the beginning, it would have never gone there. She would have found somewhere else in cutting the expenditure.
Like where?
Ask her. Because she knew everything before she became Prime Minister.
Like
she knew
where?
Everything. She knew that it could take her 3 months to fix the South Coast problem. I'm going to send home a piece of paper for national insurance and I'm going to dig the water up and fix it. 3 months and it's solved. She knew everything. Now she's in there and sitting among people, this is the only thing, you know. She came back with the word tax one too, you know. I had to correct that. And she's giving the impression to me and other people that the problem is only at 75. They got people at 75 that is more healthier than the person at 60 that need that money. So when she says she's going to start at 75, giving the impression that 75, they have people at place their money there that is 60 years old and they have their plans at 60. So don't tell me you start at 75. You got to start from the beginning if it's 40 years.
Because you know, ultimately, it's a question of how much money you need to save in interest. Now, this, to my mind, revolves around the government's argument that its interest payments have been way too high. So in all of this, you still, and you, don't forget, you have made a commitment also to the International Monetary Fund. There are certain things that we assured them we would do. So you got to be careful how far back you're trying to scale this thing. If you scale it back, if you scale it back too much, and as you just said, you don't have any answers. Do you expect?
I say I ain't got no answers.
Yeah.
My answers was, and I didn't say to you directly, I said to Peter Wickham, we sold Harewood Hotel. So Lloyd Erskine Sandiford sold it to the S&T. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We turned around and bought it back. Wait, you remember that?
I do.
We turned around and sell it again. I think you also remember that. And we take out the money that we just sold Harewood with and put it in St. Lawrence. Well, we can sell Hilton. Well, we sell one of that place. But no.
Well, you know, it is just like the whole issue with respect to the part of the speech that you didn't hear last night about the Washington University, the Indian.
I heard that too.
Right.
Foolishness.
The due diligence issues. In all of this. Let me make the point. In all of this, you don't want to do things in a hasty manner. And you got to be careful that in this drive to get a quick buck, you analyze what you're doing. And I think that was the concern that was before us when it came to the question of selling the Hilton. There will have to be, I have no doubt in my mind, that the government of Barbados must be involved in a divestment program. This Barbados Labour Party administration will have to do so as it relates to some of those state-owned enterprises. But at the end of it, there's the degree of due diligence and consultation has to be embarked upon. I must confess to you that it seemed to me as though the desire to get foreign exchange was so desperate that
by
the Democratic Labour Party administration that you were also supporting this hasty way of trying to deal with it, so that you need to respond to that, because it's an allegation I make against you.
I can't allow you to get rid of that. Miss Ellis,
yeah.
You know that I can't allow you to get rid of that.
But that's why you're here. That's why I put it to you.
I told you before over and over. Mm-hmm. The Barbados Labour Party between 2001 and 2007 sold and bore to pop up from reserves. Miss Ellis, you know that. You know that. Every time the foreign reserves get down, we sold to our server, all rent and board. The last loan that we got, I don't know if I'm wrong, I think it was somewhere around between August and December 2007. And the same, I think Dr. Mask for it, we was popping out all foreign reserves by borrowing and selling. It's nothing new at the DLP, did it? And this government doing it now in the wrong way. Because they are telling me they can get 45, 49 million for X month or every day, or every 6 months or so. And then you can get loans from here and get loans from there because of the IMF, the market got open, it could borrow. And I keep asking you when they're going to talk about making money. All I hear them speaking about is that the IMF can open the gate.
You know, in all fairness though, this government came to office in May. I mean, the Democratic Labour Party administration was in office since 2008 until this year.
Never before.
In May.
All the pressure.
You may not, but they had 20 downgrades.
Yeah, but
they had 20 downgrades. All right? Making it exceedingly expensive to get money and making it more challenging for the economy. So I don't understand how all of a sudden you expect a miracle in 3 months. I honestly believe that it is necessary to talk about the policies that the government pursues and to challenge the government on those policies, all right?
I'm only talking policies.
But it is unrealistic to expect that the government is going to be able to solve the problem overnight.
Mr. Ellis, don't put words, don't say things that I ain't say.
You asked me earlier about things. Somebody says, say, buses off the road. But let me tell you, one of my friends has, and they mentioned a particular vehicle, name of a vehicle with an open back. It's an open back Jeep. And he said to me, the person says he had no choice but to drive through floodwaters to get home. Water get in the engine and mash it up. In other words, you got to get a new engine that costs $7,000 and his insurance not covering that. But so that's for people like you who say that you don't know these things happen.
Never say water get in no engine. They say it's electrical fault.
Well,
Mr. Ellis,
my information is that water got into the engines. That's what I was told.
And got electrical faults or engine faults?
Well, but I don't know whether they got electrical faults or engine faults. But one thing I was told, they were damaged.
Let me get this one before I move on. Now, in 1981, Tom Adams went to NS. In the early 90s, the Lord Erskine Sandiford entered an arrangement with the NS. Have you ever, in those two occasions, ever found that there was a person working for the NS that seems to be like someone in the cabinet?
Sorry, I missed that point. I was distracted.
In 1981, Tom Adams then entered agreement with the NS. In the early 90s, Sir Lord Erskine Sandiford also entered arrangement with. In those two occasions, did the NS place someone in Barbados that was part of the cabinet?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Well, we have one out.
Who has been placed by the IMF as a member of the cabinet?
If I remember his name well, he's a Mr. Greenwich from Blackrock.
Mr. Greenwich is not a member of the cabinet.
So what are you doing, cabinet work?
No, maybe cabinet work. He's an advisor to the Prime Minister.
What he's doing, Mr. Ellis?
What is it that he's doing that constitutes cabinet work? What is cabinet work?
Wait. I keep telling you.
No, don't waste time with that. Let me ask you, what is cabinet work?
I heard him over and over doing what ministers should be doing.
And what is that?
With Miss Alice, you don't hear him?
No, I don't understand what is cabinet work.
Well, in other words, the government gone into a plan with the IMF to balance the debts and things like that. The $49 million that we used to get, I believe this month or next month.
We've gotten it already. From what I heard the Prime Minister say last night.
Never get it and we wouldn't even know. Because we wouldn't know if we get it. It's so small.
Well, the Prime Minister announced it last night, so that's not true.
But even if she get it, it can be so small that we even know the air. Because let me tell you this here. This is what I heard him saying. He know that it's the problem of the last 10 years that these measures must be put in place. He's rude.
But that's but you aren't answering my question. What is he doing that makes you come to this conclusion that this Barbadian now is a member of the cabinet? That the IMF has put a man in the Barbados cabinet. That's what you say.
Listen to what I'm saying. I heard him on GIS. You listen to that program that he had on GIS?
I heard some of it.
You heard him with my number one girl on the radio, Carol Roberts?
Yes, and?
You won't call him a politician working for the Barbados Library?
I don't know on what basis you would say that. I listened, quite a lot of what he said is information that has been there before. The government has said that before. He spoke the day when they unveiled the BERT program. And he said a lot of that as well. So I don't understand what puts you in a position to make that charge.
When he opened the BERT program, nothing was wrong with that. But when he got to the GIS,
let's move on.
So you mean I'm wrong, Ms. Ellis?
I don't know that you have supported. My position is that I don't think that you've supported your position well enough. I don't agree with that.
But Ms. Ellis, you're the same.
But I don't have that view. I don't think I don't see that anything about it that represents or presents the person as a cabinet.
I will let the Barbados Labour Party to let him know we vote for him. Neither did the Prime Minister make him a minister without portfolio and to take his place.
But look at you, look. Nobody ain't vote for you, and you come here every day defending the Democratic Labour Party all the time. But he's a Bajan, and he lives, you know, he's a Bajan. He went to school here.
He went to school here.
He worked here. He got family here. What puts you in a position to say that he is in no position to speak about his country? You're really presumptuous.
He is here for 2 years.
He is a barbarian just like you. You got your mouth to speak. Many times you come here and you don't come with any solutions to any problems in this country. But you got the opportunity to speak and got the gall to tell the man that he ain't to talk.
Not he ain't to talk. You rude how he speaks.
Rude what? And I ain't hear no rudeness. You're the place to tell the man that. I gone. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis. Why you indulge that gentleman just now?
Somebody says here, look. Good morning, Mr. Ellis. Are the DLPites aware of where the DLP left us? What the heck? As a Barbadian who likes to listen to the program from here in Canada, the program today is sickening. Okay? Well, that obviously is somebody who is opposed to all these Dems coming on the radio and I don't know, like they get a new lease on life or something. But the nature of this program has got to be one in which people who have alternative views are allowed to express them. And if hearing somebody express a view that you don't agree with is sickening for you, well, I'm very sorry, but we need to go through this process. This is with the democracy that we hold so near and dear to our hearts is all about. You can't have it your way only. So let the people speak. And if you want to do anything, come and defend the position that you hold. That's all I ask you to do. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you this morning?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, please.
I enjoy today's program, especially with the DLP supporters. Oh, my gosh. He's talking about the
They drink the same Kool-Aid this weekend.
Well, I can't understand. He's talking about a gentleman, Mr. Greenwich, Dr. Greenwich, that who raised born in Barbados, raised in Black Rock, who have achieved where many would like to achieve. And he talking about, I don't know. Just forget him. I'm just calling to let you know. I understand what those people are going through. You know, the ones with the bonds. But they have to realize that when you invest in something, investment is not 100% safe. And we have to do something. The Prime Minister has to do something to help correct what is going on in Barbados. We real bad, Mr. Ellis. They do not understand. I understand how they feel because some of them have been retired and put the money in bonds and everything. But when I heard that, I know something was wrong because we was in a dire state. And you cannot expect to get 6%. But even the banks didn't even gain your 2%. So you expect to get 6% from government, and we was in a crisis at that time?
I want you to respond to this side of it, though. Because, you know, there's always an argument coming from the other side, which is, but you should have known. You heard them speaking earlier. You should have known that this was going to be hard on the pensioners. And therefore, for them, the critics, you know, it really is a little bit too late in trying to come now to deal with the plight of the pensioners. How do you respond to that?
Well, yes. But when you say A, gossip B, because when you are investing, you have to look at all pros and cons. You remember the central bank governor that on television nearly every night and on the radio is talking about invest, invest, invest. You haven't heard a word from him, the former central bank governor. You haven't heard a word from him concerning these bond papers because he knew what was going on, but they wanted money fast. And anytime some person want money fast, they would do anything and say anything to get. And that is just what happened. And Belgians decide, well, they will invest because you know government is supposed to be a surety. But look where we are. Look where we are right now. You want to think it easy out there? I am not working. I write applications. I get a response. But people in Barbados, look at those people in Barbados that isn't working. It even worse because I'm not receiving anything. I have to wait to when some person gives me. You understand what I'm saying? I can understand how they feel, but you got to think about other people too. When something is too good to be true, you have to think on it. Don't grab at things, and that's just what they did because the interest was so sweet. So sweet. You know the 6%? If you got $100,000 or even a $50,000, that was so sweet. So they have to understand.
Well, but the truth of the matter is that people were led to believe that there was a certain degree of safety in government paper. I think the way to look at it is, I wouldn't put it that. Trick them. Yeah, the point is that over the years, people were led to believe that this was a safe investment, but it is only as safe as the country's economy is. If the economy is in trouble, then things like that happen. In Cyprus, when they were going through their problems, you know, they raided private bank accounts.
They did.
They went into private bank accounts. The Prime Minister makes the point that the principal hasn't been touched here, and that people are getting more interest than if they had the money on the commercial banks. So, you know, the problem here is that something has to be done. Whatever decision you take, there is an alternative point of view that is going to come at you, because we are in a tough situation.
Yeah, Barbados is in a tough situation. Mr. Ellis, you know one thing in Barbados that I do not like?
What?
When some person hit 40 in this country, you know it's hard for them to get a job.
Especially women. Yeah.
And some women in 40s look better than the ones in 20s and 30s.
Oh, strap your stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm being real with you. Because I went for interviews and people told me, well, your credentials is good and everything, but we're looking for some person younger. That's how they are. So you should understand some person in my age group, what is happening, especially when you ain't working.
What is happening?
It's hard out there. It is very hard, Mr. Ellis.
You know, and how has life changed for you? How long have you been out of a job?
It has changed. You don't even know how it changed. Drastically.
How long have you been out of a job?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years I'm out of a job.
And when you say it has changed drastically,
Mr. Ellis,
what does that mean?
Let me tell you something. Sometimes I don't even know where I'm going to get something to eat from. I tell you the truth. As God is my judge. And I have 2 children, one at secondary and one at primary. But you see what happened? People feel when they come at your house, when they're working, I, as a woman, used to buy my stuff. Cause I like to see nice things. I like my home to be nice and everything. And if you go, like, suppose I had to go to the welfare and they come here, they could say you don't need welfare because your house situated good. But that was when I was working. That is the problem in this country. Because they want you to look old and old clothes and everything to receive assistance. That's how it is here. It is very hard out there. And I got paid money. Look, my water bill was $90 last month. And I find it, and I pay. I don't know where I'm going to find. I don't know how much it's going to be this month. But thank God that I have a couple of people there to assist me, like my sisters and my boyfriend and them. But the Bok people out there don't know where a meal of food is coming from. My daughter came home from school. She go to primary school and holler, Mommy, I make sure she have a snack or something to carry school and drink. And she holler, Mommy, they got some children in my classroom don't have snacks. So I give her a little extra snack to give the children. Because it is hard. But you see what happened? We can't do nothing about it. You know why? Because Barbados is where it is. I never thought in my whole 48 years that I would see Barbados come to this. But I want those DLP supporters realize, right? God is not sleeping. And you see what they have done to this country. Ain't got name to and a B nor a D. But what they have done to this country, because I remember many, many days on this program, people came that I went to university and gave good advice what they should have done, but they would not listen. And when you don't listen, this is where you get.
Okay, like but you've been out of a job for 2 years.
Yes.
And we are now in the throes of this program, more austerity, perhaps deeper austerity than we've had before. How do you see your future at 48?
I don't really see my future right now. I went and did pay over $3,000 to do nursing auxiliary. And let me tell you this, I have my certificate and everything. But everybody wants to pay you $6 an hour, Mr. Ellis. You know what $6 an hour in nursing homes? That is only $48 for 8 hours, and you got to catch 4 buses. You got to get lunch. You're not achieving nothing for yourself. Look at $48, take away $8, and then take away $10. That means you work a whole day for $30, and you got to work so hard. You got to clean, change bed, lift up patients, plait the hair, all of those kind of things for $6 an hour. I could have kept my $3,000, but I feel it would be helping me right now. And I would like the government to check into this here, because nobody, other nurses, look, when you're going at BCC and them kind of things, they make a work for that amount of money. You know, with $6 an hour in this day and age, You don't even get $300 to come home a week. And nobody shouldn't be working right now in Barbados for no less than $300. Nobody. Because national insurance ain't going to tackle you money. What is going to happen? You ain't got no money? This country really needs to be looked at. And they need to ask the Prime Minister to please look into these nursing homes with auxiliary nurses. Because when you got to set exams, you got to study, and then you ain't getting the benefit of it. I could have kept my money. I feel if I could keep my money, it would be better. But I will see where it gone.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your experience with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go next to the regional roundup.